Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we get to talk construction technology today in the ultimate low-hanging fruit that is really a challenge in construction. We're going to talk about breaking through the ceiling, and the main message that I want to convey to you, Tribe, is that we are here to talk about making scheduling for construction simple, but here's the key but. It has to be powerful enough for the whole cycle of the AOC Master Facilitator community to be able to use it. And how is this going to benefit you is that we have to make the schedule accessible to a much broader set of a project team members to be able to trust it and create the inputs just in time and make that happening and figure out how to democratize the schedule this way. We have to end up with schedules that are more accurate, in which the entire project team has faith. And we can talk about hundreds of podcasts that we talk about connecting the field to the office, one source of truth, all these different taglines over all the years of the Art of Construction podcast. But it boils down to having the right inputs and outputs all coming together. And that schedule really is the key. And from my perspective, Tribe, I want to challenge us all because we're always throwing the contractor or the builder under the bus right now. But put yourself in their shoes of trying to herd the cats. But I do want to challenge us to say, why is it okay for GCs to run late on projects 90% of the time? Because construction has not honored and executed from the true schedule. And so traditional scheduling tools keep the schedule, quote unquote, mysterious, or it's the office one, or it's the bank one, or it's the field one that we call all the Art of Master Facilitators coming together. And we got to stop confining it to these small groups of schedulers. So what if we make scheduling easier and more collaborative? GCs will deliver more of their projects when promised. And most importantly, Tribe, we can manage the two things we have too much better. Those two things are time and money. So without further ado, let's go in and hear Nitin Bhandari's story and have as much fun as possible on how we are going to help each other be better schedulers and better Art of Construction Master Facilitators. Lock and load, Tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Hey, you know, that's a tough one. I would say either a great wine or a great beer. I'm going to go with beer today, Devin.
All right. Well, let's go with beer. We're supposed to be going into summer here, but I'm here in Colorado, and you're going to tell us where you're at, to where it feels like kind of winter-ish, where it should be pool season for the beer. But what beer are we going to be pulling out of the – what part of the country are you in, and what beer do you like this time of year?
I'm in Pleasanton, California. It's supposed to be summer. I think we're getting a little bit of a bad weather stretch here, but yeah, certainly days when I can pop open a nice local craft, like a nice pale ale or a little bit of a sort of a juicy, hazy IPA. If it's a nice cold evening, I love a nice crisp lager when when I'm grilling something.
There you go. Well, tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
It's gotta be Southern Europe, specifically maybe Italy. I just love how people can just slow down, enjoy a nice, long, leisurely lunch or a dinner. Food's awesome. Again, wine, beer, great over there. So I would say anywhere in Southern Europe, but specifically Italy.
Awesome. Well, what do you like to do outside of the construction silos? We're going to talk about better scheduling utilizing through the Art of Construction Master Facilitators.
Grilling and smoking meat is got to be my favorite thing outside of work. It just takes my mind off of work. I can multitask. I'm focused on the food that I'm trying to prepare for my family and my friends. That's got to be my favorite.
All right. Well, you're making me thirsty and hungry, but let's first get into a great conversation and hear your story that led you to being the CEO at Planera Inc.
Yeah, you know, I've done two startups before. I've been fortunate enough where both startups have scaled well and done well. And as I was thinking about what I want to do next, I knew I had one more startup in me. I wanted to tackle a big, challenging, meaty problem. I started brainstorming with a very good friend of mine, lives three houses down the street. Our kids went to school together. And he's been running a heavy civil engineering firm, a general contractor, for 30 years. And he started telling me, hey, listen, if you're going to go do another startup, just give me some time and let me explain to you my challenges of running a contracting firm. I love learning new industries. I was like, sure, why not? What do I have to lose? Started sitting down with him, started off as nights and weekends. I got really enamored by his conundrum, which is they weren't using schedules to drive their business to better performance. They were just using their schedules as a compliance tool. That didn't make any sense to him. It certainly didn't make any sense to me. That started my six-month journey about learning everything about the industry, the processes they follow currently, and how we had envisioned the ideal state to be. And I thought I'd find him a solution. I kid you not, I looked, couldn't find one. I got convinced it's a big enough problem. So then we both decided, let's just start build it. And I knew that if we could build it the right way, it can be a very large standalone startup, right? And so that's kind of like my journey into starting Planera.
Well, there's so much to unpack there, because I couldn't agree more. As day to day, I'm in supply channel and own and operate a window and door supply company in Colorado, which I've been lucky enough through Art of Construction to cast a broad net. And now I coach window dealers that now working with all of those, you'd think these different fragments of construction, they'd have these different kind of window and door scheduling tool or mechanical contracting scheduling tool. And these are just the little supply channel within this big umbrella. And it's so fragmented. And you and I, shout out to how you and I met each other is Phil Carpenter reached out. And, you know, I have tons of people asking me about, you know, they've built a tool and now they're looking for the problem to have that tool be successful. And I'm being kind of a blanket statement there, because you have to learn by doing in construction of like understanding why certain things are so fragmented. And Phil and I went on a deep dive going back, just like when Phil said, you know, I really like to share the Planera story. I said, well, then I got to interview Nitin like I interviewed Renee Marcos, of really understanding the origin story of these things. But what I love how you talked about is you know, someone really came to you with a problem that needed solving, but not from a couple days doing it. They put some time into this whole thing of really helping you understand from that lens. And so that's really the liftoff point for us here today, is that, you know, you had scaled companies, so you know how this works, to know how big this problem is. But then you had somebody that came in and has spent the 30 years in construction. You two partnered up, and now we're going to kind of go on this journey of like how the threads come together for scheduling. Am I understanding how we got here properly, Nitin?
Absolutely. I do believe that to build something big and meaningful in this space, you really need to have expertise in both of these disciplines, right? You got to understand construction really, really well, but you also have to understand how to build a big, meaningful, lasting company, because both of those are incredibly hard and complex topics.
100%. And so, you know, as we did all of the pre-planning for this podcast, is that this is not a sales pitch for Planera. Planera is an output from all of this. And that's why you really have lifelong learners coming together to understand, you know, why is scheduling such a mess in construction and why is it so difficult? Could you kind of run through those bullet points of those, like what are these big, big pain points? And then what is Planera setting out to solve as a collaborative construction scheduling and planning tool?
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing that jumps out at me when I think about construction scheduling specifically, right, is in construction, we are contractually obligated to deliver something and we got to deliver all of it. We're not going to deliver 90% of the bridge. In most other world, like in software, I could ship with six features instead of eight, right? Nobody's going to know. marketing, sales, all of this is, I think there's a little flexible definition of done. In construction, that's not the case, number one.
Love that.
Number two, it's the only place where you have to have a really, really good view of your 10,000 foot level, right? How am I gonna do this over a course of 2 years with 30 trade partners and 10,000 hours of labor and this and that, right? But you also need a very, very good view of the next day and week and 3 weeks. And that's a complicated problem. That's a complicated problem. And hence what we find way too often is that those two things get completely siloed, completely divorced from each other. And you have a master schedule, which is used for maybe compliance and finance and legal work. And then there's the field schedule, which is maybe on Excel or maybe on an actual physical whiteboard with stickies, right? And that's how project teams get in trouble, right? And so it is a complicated challenge to be able to take a look at the big picture and then also be able to zoom in and do all those sort of altitudes, you know, effortlessly. And for the whole team, because now the entire team has different skill set. They have different points of view. It's not all very sort of a simple monolith, right? And so that's what makes construction scheduling so important, but also so challenging.
I love that that line of saying, you know, a lot of fields have flexibility of what is quote unquote done or a deliverable, and then you can keep stacking onto that deliverable. Like construction is the end user, whatever that building, bridge, or whatever it's going to be, is it works or they like it. And it's this weird output of all of these inputs coming together that I think scheduling becomes this kind of umbrella term that needs to do so many different things. When you say, you know, Planera does scheduling, well, what are all the inputs and outputs of that? So let's unpack a little bit about, you know, how do we make a tool that is powerful enough with features to be a comprehensive, this whole umbrella of, you know, the P6s and Excels and all these custom APIs, but then making it really easy to use. Can you talk about kind of how the life cycle of that has went and, you know, putting this all together to where now at the end of this, we'll talk about how you can get involved and actually be part of using the Planera that's now out and live and working.
Yeah. I'm going to piggyback on a term you used at the start, which is democratize scheduling. Yes. So we're obviously big believers in democratizing scheduling because it doesn't make any sense to have very smart people on the project, but then not get them involved in one of the most important things, which is the schedule and the plan, right? So very early on in Planera's life, we knew that the way we're going to break this status quo is to democratize scheduling, meaning make it accessible and available to more people, right? But then what we realized is that a lot of tools that have tried to do that have democratized, but also dumbed things down, right? Their way to democratize things was to dumb it down. And we just fundamentally believe that we have to democratize scheduling without dumbing it down, which means, you know, keep it powerful as well, because, you know, construction scheduling is complicated. So why shouldn't the field team, for instance, have a sense of what's critical path or what's the second float path or the third float path? They're smart. They can figure it out. It's just that existing tools have just kept it deliberately so complicated and so vague and obfuscated all these concepts, right? And so...
So let's unpack that. Why do you think that is? I'll tee it up before I send the baton back to you, is going back to Renee with Alice, and he talked about how like banking and other things were like, well, why is construction so late to adopt? Well, construction is so complicated of the models and all of the moving parts. He basically just said there wasn't the computational power to be able to do that. We're talking 10 years ago when I first interviewed Renee. So a lot has happened, you know, 10 years later. But what's your take of why these tools, when it comes to scheduling, it doesn't work? Because I totally agree with you. They do dumb it down, and then you're missing the key parts of actually making the scheduling all come together.
I would agree with Renee's point of view that the technology maybe just wasn't there 10 years ago. But I think there's another part, which is this industry just went through its first phase of modernizing its stack. I mean, let's set aside design, architecture, right? I'm talking about construction, which is to move from emails and PDFs and attachments to something like a modern project management platform, right? Like a Procore or a ACC, something like that. It's been a longish journey, but now the proof point of positive ROI in investing in software is there, right? Mm. And so now it's like, hey, what are the other big challenges? There's a few, but everybody we talk to says, yeah, great scheduling is right there in the top three, if not always the top one or two challenges, right? And so I think it's a combination of both. Technology is better now, but I think motivation is there because there's been this one wave of software investments that are now proving to have great positive ROI.
Well said. And so now let's get into the inputs and outputs to where I've done a lot of podcasts with, you know, Autodesk and Procore and Trimble and all those type of brands and, you know, acquisitions and parts from within all of those. And I always challenge when they say, well, this one thing can just do it all, right? I just had Trimble back for the fifth podcast that's going to be coming out here soon. And I talk about how no silver bullet. How do you figure out how to work with other tools? And on your website, you've done a great job of talking through different Procore integrations or Autodesk integrations, you know, and starting with that master Excel spreadsheet and things branched off of that of imports and exports. How do you work with other tools through Planera? Today and also in the future, where now with AI and all these buzzwords, it's like now it's all just going to change again.
Yeah. There's features and then there's platforms. There's some things that are just better integrated, right? Because when it's good enough, it's good enough. Integration provides, like integration meaning bundling, right? When something is good enough, it's a small enough problem, you bundle it into the platform and then it's good enough. So Procore, Autodesk, they keep adding some features. Then there are big meaty problems like, again, we've talked about scheduling, big meaty problem, right? Most people don't want just a basic good enough. Most people want the best scheduling thing they can find because it adds straight to the bottom line or it sucks away from the bottom line, right? Either way, right? Yep. It's a financial impact. And so for that, they will go and seek out the best thing they can. Then to make their lives better, we have to obviously integrate into other platforms that they might use, right? And so our philosophy is that Planera is going to be the best scheduling platform to help people run their day-to-day business, but we'll also integrate into whatever else they use. So Procore, Autodesk, but they might have some existing schedules in P6 already. That's a real world we live in. So we can one-click import your existing P6 schedule. Could be conceptual schedule, could be in-flight with some progress, whatever. It just comes straight into Planera. But as then you're running your job inside Planera, for compliance reasons, for owner submittals, etc., if you want to export a P6 file and send it to the owner, that's one-click experience as well, right? And so you can import, and when I say P6, I also mean Microsoft Project and other platform formats, right? And so you can import and you can export as much as you want. With project management platforms, there's a deeper API integration. So that's kind of like our philosophy is that if you already have existing project schedules, bring it in. Then for compliance reasons, export as many times as you want. For project management, deeper integration.
So I always talk about you got to beat the people, the businesses, and the municipalities where they are. And if I heard you right, you're going to plug into if someone's using Microsoft with this custom CRM and this and that, you have a team that, you know, we can work with to figure out how Planera is going to jump into the middle of that and help making your scheduling world move forward.
Absolutely. If your listeners want to understand how Planera can help their business, we will sit down with them. We have solutions architects, we have People who run jobs in the past for 10, 20 years, either XPMs, PEs, etc., they'll sit down, they'll map our, you know, the workflow, the existing workflow. Then we'll recommend to you exactly how Planera fits into their life, fits into their workflow, dramatically upgrade their scheduling practice.
Love it. Can you give us, do you have any like real life case studies you could explain to us?
There's many. There's case studies from Heavy Civil with Zachary Corporation. There's in commercial, but like one of my favorites is like a case study with Big D Construction, a $3 billion commercial GC out of Salt Lake City in Utah. And they have slowly been moving their projects onto Planera. They're not fully there yet, but a good chunk of their projects. And then they did a deep study around what's the ROI in having better scheduling practices. And they think that even with partially moving their projects, it's $1.5 million impact straight to the bottom line, right? In an industry which is notorious in terms of margins being low, $1.5 million being added straight to the bottom line is a very meaningful impact. And the way that happens is very, very simple. Whenever people update their schedule on a weekly basis or whatever your cadence is, a whole lot of things change, right? There's domino effects and schedules get readjusted almost on a weekly basis. There's things that are hiding there that humans just cannot see. These schedules are very complicated. But if we can help people identify these potential problems early rather than a week before it happens, they then have options. And so if there's schedule compression going on, if maybe there's trade stacking going on and it's 4 months out, chances are most project teams don't realize that until they're 2 weeks away. They're doing their 3 week look ahead planning. Now you're out of options. It's going to cost you a lot of money. If you could find those things out maybe 4 months ahead of time, you know, you have different options. Maybe there's cheaper ways to recover from that problem. And so just by getting more people involved in scheduling and providing that level of insights and clarity, you know, our customers are already saving money that's going straight to the bottom line.
I love that. You'd mentioned Zachary, and we're doing a bunch of work with Zachary. Now it makes me think of the podcast that's going to be released right around, you know, I think it might be the one right before yours. You know, we record these at all these different moments in time, but I think of Rachel, the manager of investments and ideation, that we talked through a lot of this stuff of figuring out, like getting the right core of people and having someone like Rachel that helped implement software for a company like Zachary to then go out and finding the different planners of like really finding that pain and fixing it. I think that's a great story of these great companies like that coming together, that I'd be surprised if Rachel and Zachary are not talking with Planera, just the way that those different threads come together. But that story, but maybe you guys are already talking with Rachel.
Rachel's a great person. She knows the platform well. Rachel, Ranji, Josh, they're all amazing. What's great about Zachary is that they have a very well-defined way of knowing that when we try this software, what's the business value it's going to drive? And then they can close the loop quickly and then double down on it. Right?
That's fascinating you say that, because you and I didn't plan that, but that's like piss poor planning is piss poor results. Like if you say, my company really sucks and scheduling really sucks, so make scheduling really good. Well, you have to come in with saying, here's our core values, here's how we run our business, for Planera to bolt into that. And that's what we mean by there's no silver bullet to just come in and run your business. Like you have to have leaders and people like Rachel within Zachary and have a manager of investments and execution to put all that stuff together is really the key thing here that we want to make sure people understand, is that, you know, you went out, learn from people who have been doing it for a while to fix this problem, but it's not just going to be you pay for Planera, import it into your company, and now scheduling is fixed. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. There has to be some high level vision and some leadership commitment. But then what we want to do at Strive at Planera is that there's too many cases where leadership wants to do it, but the tool is just too hard to use. It makes the job of day-to-day practitioners harder, not easier, right? We don't want to be that. We want to be a company where the leadership has a vision, but the project team itself loves to use Planera because it makes their life easier as well. And that's a win-win.
So, Phil and I were talking through before we did this recording, and I said, you know, what kind of code or what was the right way to get involved? And the answer was great. It's like, you know, if you're an AOC listener, when you reach out to Planera, just let them know that you've listened to Devin and Nitin on the podcast, and tell them what your problem is and what you got out of the podcast, and they're going to cook up a special offer for you to really make sure that they're promising that something's good. And I thought that was a great answer, right? Because there's so many, like, who's going to take the time to just put in a code to get a discount that and really get something out of it? That's the call to action we're trying to create here. So what is your advice for next steps if you're trying to build a construction company? And is there a certain size you should be? Is Planera built really just for big contractors? Who and what's the right platform or the right person that should be reaching out to you all?
Yeah, great point. Question, Devin. Planera is eventually going to address the entire construction market and our AEC market. Today, we shine when projects are somewhat complicated and teams are struggling to keep projects on track, right? And then there might be some requirements in terms of maybe resource planning or owner submittals and things like that. So I would say anywhere from like 50 million on up is sort of like, in terms of annual construction volume, is sort of where we shine. Where there are some scheduling practices already, but people aren't happy with it, or people feel like they can dramatically up-level things, right? And so these are people that may have some corporate schedulers on staff, but they're not scaling. The corporate scheduling department wants more people to be able to interact with the schedule, or maybe people are using external scheduling consultants, but where there's some kind of like a scheduling practice that customers want to dramatically up-level because they know it can add to the bottom line.
Love it. Thanks for that explanation. As we work on closing this thing out and creating the right call to action to where, like, if you're not raising your hand in construction to say scheduling is a challenge, then I don't think you're very involved in construction, because I couldn't agree more. It's definitely, when you talk about the top problems we're trying to solve every day, that is definitely one of those that really boils down to the key solution for us to break down the ceiling is actually deliver on time and below budget, which is really what we're all trying to figure out every day in construction. But if we were to wave the magic wand when it comes to technology, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
My crystal ball says that we will continue to adopt more technology in the field. I think construction mindset will change where construction, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but for way too often, there have been like these fixed line items, right? Mm-hmm. And you go like, oh, this line item should be this percentage or this many bips or something like that. I think very soon construction will realize that technology is unlike any other fixed cost kind of a mindset. This is not a fixed mindset. This is, as long as something is positive ROI, you can just have as much technology in your stack as you want, because it's positive ROI, right? And so the mindset will change from a fixed mindset of this is my pie and I can only invest this much in technology, to a growing mindset where I don't want technology overload, but for technologies that are having positive ROI, let's double down on it. Let's do more of it, right? And so I think that's going to be a little bit of a mindset shift. I think technology providers will realize that they're not just designing for power users in a company, they're designing for everybody. I mean, let's take a look at maybe the most successful recent construction tech company, PlanGrid, right? It wasn't just designed for, you know, 8 experts in a company. It was designed for everybody, and it delivered instant results and things like that, right? So I think these are my predictions, is that solutions will be designed much more with understanding the user persona, and technology purchases will be driven much more with ROI and more like a growth mindset.
fascinating. Well, Nitin, we're huge fans of what you're all doing with Planera. The final question we always ask this podcast that's built for our builders and affiliates to go out there and crush it and grow their business. What is that advice? What is that one thing you want to give them to think about to go out there and crush it and break through the ceiling in their business?
I know it's easy to get overwhelmed right now with a lot of construction technology companies pitching things all the time. I would say that have a end state in mind, have a hypothesis around if I do this and if it goes well, how could that transform my life or my business, right? And then embark on a pilot, right? And prove that or disprove it, right? But otherwise, without a plan, it's almost overwhelming in terms of how many construction tech companies there are, and it's too noisy. And my worry for your listeners is because it's so noisy, they basically shut down even great ideas, right? And so that would not serve them well, right? And so have a plan, use that to filter what you're going to test, yeah. Don't throw away baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, that's a good way of like getting us to, you know, to stop and think about it. Because I raise my hand and say, hey, I'm kind of one of those. You don't know what you don't know. And boy, we're jaded by what we think we know when it comes to construction technology, to where I really do think it's a special time to be paying attention to these tools, knowing we've all had a lot of struggles with it, right? Like when you hear this is going to work for scheduling, we roll our eyes, right? But
Don't blame anyone for that.
What was that?
I said, I don't blame anyone for that because, you know, historically, solutions have fallen way short, right? But that doesn't mean that, and it's not just construction scheduling, it's other things as well. Technology sometimes takes a little time, but you can't stop looking for things that are really meaningful business drivers for your company.
Awesome. Well, an honor to get to know you, and we'll make sure we put links in the show notes to get involved with Planera. And Nitin, we're a huge fan and cheering you on to actually have schedules that work in construction. Thank you so much for stepping up and sharing your story.
Thank you, Devin, and hope we talk again soon.